Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Munganass St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Pass over to Petrangelo, Nana Maroon up the right wing. Got it into the middle of the ice. Reaches for it and he'll ride it down into the corner. Take the check on the play, but keep the puck. Maroon centers. Bozak score! Tyler Bozak! Stick side under the bar. 2-1, St. Louis. 2:05 to go. Third period of play. O'Reilly, Sundquist, Steen, Petrangelo, and Bullmeister. O'Reilly wins it. Bullmeister rims it around. The puck kept in by Bufflin. Shot behind the net to Scheifele. They center, and it's pumped wide by a little. Puck to the near wing. Blues clear. You can bring out the Zamboni. The St. Louis Blues have won game number one against the Jets on the road. And a huge save by Binnington with 12 seconds to go. A difference maker here tonight. In behind the net, backhanded over to Perico. Through the middle, he got it over to Bullmeister. What a pass up to O'Reilly. O'Reilly's in, he scores! Orion O'Reilly, top of the near circle, beats Hellebuck stick side. And the Blues have gone back on top. 26 seconds to go in regulation. Blues win the draw to the inboards. Petrangelo cuts it to the near corner. O'Reilly gets in to help out. Three Jets, three Blues. Steve eats it in the corner. 17 seconds remaining in regulation. It's Alexander Steen trying to battle it away with Kyle Connor. 10 seconds to go. They force it in front. O'Reilly there. He'll clear it out. 5 seconds to go. The Jets bring it up. Wheeler, slap shot. Glove save Binnington. Bring out the Zamboni. The St. Louis Blues take a 2-0 series lead. A 4-3 win over the Winnipeg Jets. They've come to Winnipeg. They've won both. Puck goes into the corner. Kulikov is there. O'Reilly to the blue line. Done. Wrist shot on. Rebound. And it rides along the crossbar. O'Reilly with 3 seconds to go. Shot on. Hellebuck will make the save. And game three is over. 6-3 the final. The Blues fall in game three. And the Jets get their first win of the series.
Yeah, playoffs is all about response. Doesn't matter if you win or if you lose. It's about the next game and the next moment, owning the moment.
Wheeler cuts it in to the middle. They shoot. Pad save Binnington, and they've scored. Kyle Connor kicks it in on the rush up the ice, and the Winnipeg Jets have tied the series 2-2. And we'll go back to Winnipeg for a best of three to begin on Thursday night.
That's where we are as the Blues are now headed back to Winnipeg for game five of their first round playoff series. Here we go. Pre-game edition of the Munganess St. Louis Honda Mitsubishi Sports Open Line. Chris Raby with you on KMOX. Hanging out until 7 o'clock. That is when pre-game skate begins. 7:30 is when the puck drops. And at some point tonight, we will know one way or another what Saturday is going to mean for the Blues. Happy to be with you. If you want to get in touch with the program, we're going to dial up Curbs and Joey here in a few, but you can at 436-7900, 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Follow me on Twitter. Tweet me at C-H-R-A-B-E. C-H-R-A-B-E. Follow us on Twitter at KMOX Sports. That's where you'll get breaking news, behind-the-scenes photos, and more. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Ben Boyd is the executive producer of the program.
And you better talk to Marc-Andre Fleury because he's a hell of a goalie.
He is. That's a hell of a team. Golden Knights are red hot. Red hot! Mike Anderson?
My new boy.
It's my guy! Here at the Camo X Studios, it is Sports Open Line before Blues hockey tonight. How's everyone feeling? We welcome Mike Anderson into the program for the first time tonight. Usually like to get Mike's take on how he's feeling before games like this. Anderson, how you feeling?
Well, I'm nervous. I think you'd be crazy not to be nervous, right?
Sure. Every game, there are nerves.
I don't know. I think it's too close to call. I mean, you've seen pretty even games to this point, save for game three, a lot of game three at least. And you've shown what you can do on the road. So you got to think you can go out and do it again. At the same time, Winnipeg's shown that they've come back a lot stronger than they did in the first two games. So both teams have reason to be optimistic, and I think it'll be a fun best of three, and I still think it'll go seven.
Yeah, I really like the big storyline. Obviously, everyone's still talking about the home ice or the lack of home ice and what's going on there. And even to have like a tactical advantage, you know, Paul Maurice said this morning, like, listen, I just think everyone in the NHL is good, especially in the playoffs. There's such a fine line, but
right.
You know, we saw Tampa bounced already. We saw Pittsburgh bounced already. Calgary now is on the brink after they had a power play in overtime last night, couldn't convert.
And they were 3 minutes away from winning in regulation as
yeah.
well.
And then Colorado able to win and push them to the brink, up 3-1 now. So it's just like, I don't know if that's too simplistic of an explanation, but I think there's something to that.
Yeah, I think the way that really every team has figured out what they want to do under the salary cap, I mean, it's such an equalizer, you know. No one can just spend, you know, the way certain teams used to just to be far and away favorites. Now there's so much parity. You even had John Cooper alluding to that after the Tampa Bay Lightning loss. Now, I think he was kind of stretching things to use that as an excuse for Tampa Bay. But, I mean, in every other series, I think it applies a little more.
Yeah, I think also, like, teams are so deep now. We see it with the Blues and with Winnipeg that maybe getting certain matchups doesn't matter as much. Certainly, you want matchups, and it helps to be able to dictate when you're at home. But, you know, I don't know if that's as big a deal as maybe it was 5 or 10 years ago, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you heard
every line is skill, and every team that's especially in the postseason is able to roll four lines.
Right. I mean, people made the assumption that, oh, Tampa would have been better off had they drawn Carolina instead of Columbus. What an unfortunate series of events for them. But Carolina's here about to even the series with Washington, so I don't know how you can say that would have even been that much better. Literally everyone that makes it for a reason, and they got to believe they all have a shot.
So the Blues and the Winnipeg Jets coming your way at 7:30 tonight. We're going to check in with Curbs and Joey here in a bit. I do want to listen to Craig Berube this morning, his presser, and you'll hear in this that Robert Bortuzzo is a game time decision. See if we get more information from Curbs. Certainly during pregame, we'll see if he's out there. But here's Craig Berube this morning talking to the media before the Blues and Jets game five.
More what happens in the games themselves. I think every game's different, you know. I think every game's been different in this series.
You look at how close the series has been, obviously, except for just the one game. Do you like, or is this kind of what you expected it to be now if you were best of three?
Yeah, I think going in, we all knew it was going to be a long series. And what you see is a lot what we expected, for sure. Yeah, and you know, we talked to our O'Reilly line, you know, plays the bulk of the minutes against that line. we got to do a better job of possessing the puck against that line. It's one thing to say, well, we're going to defend them. That it's hard. They're fast. They're big. They're highly skilled. So a lot of times the best way to defend them is keep the puck, make them play in their own end. So they got to do a better job of that.
How would you describe your team mentally from what you've seen from how they've responded since that last game?
Well, we haven't played yet.
No, but I mean, they come out of, how were they in the dressing room?
They're fine. The mindset is fine. I think they've done a good job of, game to game and letting it go. We obviously got to make adjustments and move on from the last game. We do that, and then we let it go, and we move on to the next game. So they're mentally fine,
Even back at the beginning of the season when overall things were going well, but you guys always seem to play well on the road. So there's no reason to think that won't be the case tonight, right?
No, we've been a confident team on the road for sure. I think going back to January, spending all that time on the road, January, February, really honed our road game in, I guess, the way you can call it. But we've been a pretty good team on the road for quite some time now.
Anything you can do differently in terms of puck clearance, getting through the neutral zone, any one or two things that might be key to that?
Well, I think a lot of that is we spend too much time in our own end, and you get tired, and you're trying to just get off the ice by then. And, you punt the puck back out to the neutral zone. They get it. They turn it back in and go back at us. So we got to do a better job of eliminating the their time in our end, being quicker and more physical on them, getting a puck so we can get up the ice more. Quicker.
The lines appear to be the same. David Perron just joked that previous coaches might have changed the lines six times by now. Just what's the thought process in keeping them the same? And when you keep them the same, do you feel like you're giving them a message, giving them some confidence that you trust them?
Well, I do trust them, and I've trusted them for some time now. I think the lines have been pretty solid for the most part. O'Reilly's line, they want to be better for sure. Again, they go head-to-head with Scheifele's line, and Scheifele's line produced the last couple of games for their team. So they know that, and they'll respond.
Bortuzzo not out there today. What's his status?
Maintenance. Yeah. He's good to go.
Tonight? Should be good.
Well, we'll make a decision at game time.
Kind of off topic, but, and I don't know how much you paid attention to the other scores, but you see Tampa go down and Pittsburgh swept. Just any general thoughts on what you've seen in the playoffs so far?
Well, I don't think it's just in the playoffs. I think that's just the league. There's a lot of good teams, and anybody can beat anybody. And Tampa had a great year, but playoffs is different. You get in a playoff series, things happen, and, other team gets some puck luck bounces and things go your way, and, it's tough. It's a real good league. There's so many good teams that anybody can beat anybody.
Looks like Fabry's back in. Just what did you see out of him? I guess you'd like.
Yeah, he had good speed in the game. Thought he had a good jump, good energy in the game. So, we need that.
Just hope about not changing in the conference yet, you guys. Does that kind of speak to where this series is? I mean, there aren't really any secrets probably between these two teams.
No, there's not. We know what they're all about. They know what we're all about, and it's just about going out and playing and executing. That's what it boils down to.
Craig Berube, this morning after the Blues were on the ice in Winnipeg, and they are about an hour and 15 minutes from dropping the puck in a massive game 5. We'll take a break, come back, and check in with Curbs and Joey in Winnipeg. We'll visit with the guys for a bit. Get ready for pregame. That starts at 7. Your Blues pregame skate 7:30. Scheduled start for the Blues and Jets. 2-2, game 5. We're back in a moment on KMOX.
We are the voice of Cardinal Nation, America's sports voice, KMOX. Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda and Mitsubishi Sports Open Line. Munganass St. Louis Mitsubishi on South Limburg on America's sports voice, KMOX.
Kind of seen it from early on. Those are two teams that are good on the road going at it. So, home ice, obviously, they talk like it's big in the playoffs. So far, it hasn't been in the series. So, we feel confident in this building to try and come out and get a win tonight.
We'll be right back.
All right, about an hour away from Blues and Jets game 5. Top of the hour, it's your Blues pregame skate. We head to Winnipeg right now. Say hello to the legendary Blues broadcaster, Joey Vitale, who is joined by Chris Kerber. Hello, boys.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Legendary where?
Ow, ow, ow! I heard him chirping your brand.
That's a good setup right there, Chris. Thank you for that.
You know, it's all teamwork, buddy.
Thank you.
Little warmer up there, huh? You got out to the Dungeons and Dragons last night, Curbs?
Joe doesn't know that. I finally, because it was the first time since Winnipeg got back into the league, that I've been able to go outside without taking a chance of frostbite,
yep.
Right? Or your nose hair freezing so bad to the inside of your nose, you're scared to sneeze for 3 days.
Yes.
So I actually walked around and found I found that tea place that I sent the picture to you, found a poutine place for Richie, found a bar with like 400 beers for Dan O'Neill, just making sure my boys know that there's some options to go outside of the hotel. And then I ended up walking past a place that said Gaming Cafe, and inside I'm pretty sure there was this young couple. I mean, I'm telling you, they had to be like in their mid to late 20s. I'm pretty sure they were playing Old Maid is what I could figure from the window. But they had a bunch of box games. I don't know. People go in there, have a cup of coffee, and play board game, shoots and ladders or whatever. But on the tent outside, it said Dungeon Dragons tonight, register online. And so Chris Ramey asked the question. We were not able to get to this yesterday. He said, which St. Louis Blue do you think you would be most likely to find in there? I still don't know that I have an answer, but what do you think?
Oh, easy. Jordan Bennington, for sure.
See, that's what I said first.
He's a guy that reminds me of the movie Slapshot, where they bring the cars and the triplets are playing cars in their bedroom. I can just see
Jordan. Yeah,
but
that's different than Dungeons & Dragons. It has a different stigma.
No, I know. I just think that I can see him doing the dress-up act and watching Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones, and he's got his little figures and that little big bag he's always carrying around.
So check this out. Chris, I talked to Robert Thomas today. Actually, I was talking to him about comparing mentally how he feels in the Stanley Cup playoffs versus when they were in the Memorial Cup tournament. And the reason being is, if you're a junior player in the Memorial Cup, that is your Stanley Cup. I mean, it is the pinnacle. And frankly, there's tremendous pressure on junior kids at that level with what it means in Canada. So, yes, while the magnitude of the Stanley Cup playoffs are different, we talked about the mental aspect of the tournament being very similar and how he can rely on it. But somehow we ended up talking about video games. And I guess in one of the games, they do have the Ontario Hockey League players. So he's actually been in an EA Sports game since he was in junior hockey. And I said, I'm going out of my comfort zone here, okay, because I really have never played much of those. I was kind of beyond that at the time and then never really sat down to do it. But I guess he said that he had a rating of like 60 as a junior player, which is not very good. Mm-hmm. His rating now, then when he would play center and then a buddy would play people would play wing. He was able to work the rating up to, of the player that he created up to like a 78. And I think he said his rating in the NHL now is somewhere like an 81 or 82.
You know, that's
which I guess has got to be pretty good.
That's a big thing. And especially in Madden, there is a guy who goes around and they take stats and reports. And over the course of the season, if you're connected online, it updates players' ratings. And players will get on Twitter and campaign to have their ratings raised.
Do you know what your rating was when in those games?
I'd say low to mid lows, if I had to guess. I don't remember exactly, but
low did you ever play yourself?
I did, yeah. And I would get
better on the ice or in the video game?
I was way better in the video game because my line mates were Wayne Gretzky and Sidney Crosby. I typed in a cheat code.
That's fair.
I led the league in goals that year. So
sir.
But you know those players will play that game, and for your fans out there and.
We got guys on this team to travel with a PlayStation.
Exactly, of course. So they have this lounge room. And when you're on the road for multiple games, not this trip necessarily, but it's still there. During the playoffs, they have this double suite lounge room where the players constantly, there's always food, there's always snacks, there's always drinks, waters, coconut waters,
a
whatever.
A place to go lounge instead of your room.
Yeah, exactly. So the idea is you want to pull the group in. So when there's a playoff game on, let's say last night, for example, all the team is together in that double suite. They're watching playoff hockey. You got your coconut waters, you're hydrating, you're playing ping pong or pool or whatever they have. But they also have that PlayStation or N64. I don't know what the heck they have anymore. I don't play video games. But it's all there, and they're playing each other in those games. They got the full-on recovery pantsuit thing where the compression pants are there. But that's how they spend their time.
Fortnite now.
And Fortnite's the other one.
I got to tell you, I found a bar with some beer. It was awesome.
Yeah?
Different kind of recovery.
Bar with some beer? Come on. Yeah. Tell me more.
Well, we ended up at a steak place last night because the Italian place you recommended didn't have room for one person to sit. And I said, there's three people at that table. I'll just join them. And they didn't think that was a good idea.
You should have called me. I know Tony. I said, Tony, get my guy in.
I'm like, we're kind of packed and you didn't have a reservation. I said, no. I said, I can come back and go, well, those three have an extra seat. Should I introduce myself?
And she
said, I'm not sure that would work. If you'd want to try, it could be a good story.
Canadians aren't that friendly.
No. So I like finding pubs. I like
the hole in the wall.
But not so much like a dangerous dive bar, but just a good old fashioned
little character.
Where, there's just a smell of just somebody that's, the beer was on the ground a little bit. I like those kind of places, especially if they got just a spot where one, they serve you beer quickly. The staff is friendly, and they got some kind of TV with a game on.
You would have liked my fraternity house in college because there was constantly that smell.
You bring up a good point, Chris. I want to both your opinions here. So I was on a cruise about 6 years ago, and you brought this up a second ago. So on cruises, if you guys have been on a cruise recently, and it was just my wife and I, and we're on this cruise ship, and they go to seat us at breakfast, and we ask we would party too. And cruises do this where they will escort you to a table, and they will sit you down with two other people, like another couple.
But you have to expect that on a cruise, right?
But what's the play there? I mean, what's your guys' opinion on that? Do you want to sit with other people? Some people like to meet other people on vacations and cruises, or are you like, hey, I'm away from my kids, I'm with my wife, I just want to be with my wife, don't seat me with anyone else. I mean, I don't know.
So imagine that's...
I enjoy hearing people's stories.
That's got to be because of the space on the cruise ship, right? But like, there are a lot of restaurants and a lot of new or trendier restaurants that... There will be a lot of communal tables, right? Like, you don't have to talk to the people, but you might be at the same table or somebody might be right next to you.
I would prefer not to, but I don't have a problem doing it. The people that we get sat next to might have a problem because I believe in those situations, you have to strike up a conversation. And if you get put at a table with two social amoebas, okay, that could be a real problem.
Social
amoebas. Okay, I sat at a baseball game last summer, tried to strike up conversation with the people next to me, and then uncle.
But tell me the value in sparking a conversation with a stranger that you're never going to see again.
Okay, here's one.
Well, maybe on the cruise ship you want to make, like, cruise friends.
Well, no, I'll give you one, okay? So Christy and I, a couple years ago, went up to it was called White Mountain Resort. It was in New Hampshire, right near Mount Washington, and we were celebrating our anniversary. We found this place online. It looked pretty good, so we drove up from Massachusetts. We were staying with her family for a few weeks. So in the bar one night, there's just this couple, and it was a small bar and area in the hotel bar, and we just struck up a conversation. The guy ended up being working for Progressive in their corporate offices. Learned some just great information about how much they were paying Flo and all that stuff. I was actually blown away by that. Okay. She makes like over $1 million a year.
Does she?
Like more? Well, a lot more than that now.
It's like the Allstate guy, too, yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so, but just through that, they were talking. He's from Rhode Island. It was just some interesting talk. And they had gone zip lining that day. Up in one of the mountains, right? You could see Mount Washington from it, so I can't remember the name of the mountain exactly. But we were him and Han Dewey do it, and by talking to them and the fun they had, we said, oh, heck yes, let's go do it the next day. So we did, and it wound up being just a terrific experience. So just, I don't know, sometimes you just meet friendly people and you find stuff out.
I like it.
Alex Ferrari would be freaking out right now. He could not handle this conversation.
I like it too. Why not?
Yeah.
Okay, I got one for you. Okay, can I throw this out there?
I'll allow it.
Why is it in schools?
Oh, okay. He's been sitting on this one, Chris.
Oh, here
this
we go.
He needs to get it off his hairy chest.
Why is it in schools that you need a note from a doctor to excuse a child from PE class but no other class? Like, in any other class, like if I sent a note and said, my child isn't feeling well, they're going to miss this class and stuff like that, right? Okay? The note works. But if you send a note that says they're injured, they got to miss PE class, you got to get a note from a doctor.
What happened?
Well, first off, I want to make sure this is very clear. Everybody at this school is outstanding, so I'm making a point here just on the side thing.
Okay.
I had to fill out a form because my daughter has casts on both ankles right now. Just,
yeah.
Just a situation that flares up every now and then, and it just happened to flare up in both feet. So anyway, take her to school, and she had to have a wheelchair now for about 4 or 5 days while school was going on because we want to try and keep her as non-weight-bearing as possible. And the question got asked of me, and it's not the person's fault for asking that. They said, on the form, did the doctor list the restrictions for her for PE?
Are you kidding me?
And I'm looking at it going, the child's got casts on both legs and in a wheelchair.
Are you kidding me?
No, and again,
oh,
I'm not knocking what the person that asked.
Well, you
okay?
should.
This is, well, no, I mean, look.
I know you're being political.
I don't know what legal things have happened in schools over the years where districts have to, and I get all that part. So that's why I'm not judging that person at all on this, but I had to laugh at the question, and I finally said, like, I really don't care about PE. I don't. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's pretty obvious what she can and can't do. Although, the funny thing was when I said, hey, Grace, if you're going to take the stairs, get some speed, and they said, don't listen to your dad, right? Okay, but if you do think about that, because as a parent, like, you still trump a doctor, don't you, Joe? Like, the doctor may say, hey, Summer can do this, can do that, but you're like, I would actually rather be a little more conservative than that, and I don't want you doing this and this. So even though the doctor says this is this, if you're the parent, you say, but I don't want this or this to happen either, you trump it. You're the parent.
You're the final say, of course. That's your girl.
That's unbelievable. Do you have a note? Look at it. You kidding
me? I
wish
I could have got a note for, like, chemistry and biology.
Let me tell you what I did. No, 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 listen.
And algebra.
I'm allergic to math.
Well, I shouldn't That's say calculus. Point. I never went to calculus.
Like, if the parent wants to write a note that said, my kid can't do geometry, they break out, right? And we can't afford the proactive. Well, then, you know, you should be able to do. No, I'm just joking on that. But listen, here's the thing. It's just a condition that flares up every now and then, okay? But when it does, we know how to handle it. Like, sometimes you just put a boot on or whatever. So I got to the point where calling the doctor to get notes, I'm like, this is nuts. So I had the doctor write a note to cover the whole year that basically says if she shows up and mom and dad said something's flared up, understand, and they have been outstanding about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I understand. But if you think about it, there's only one class that you have to get a note covered for.
And is it that it's important PE. Of a class? I mean, in reality. I guess maybe kids can sit out or not want to participate, so that's why they instilled the rule where you got to have a note then. But who wouldn't want to participate in physical education?
Well, here's the point. Okay, look, I could totally understand kids going, oh, this hurts because I don't want to do, because you got
right.
some lazy kids, you know, or you even got some kids that are putzes. Okay, I get that. All right, but, okay, it's pretty, when there is an apparatus on an appendage, okay, it's pretty obvious that you're restricted.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining poor Gracie out there in the wheelchair having to, like, try to climb the rope.
or getting dodged by balls.
Yeah. See, I loved it. I loved it in grade school because our PE class that we just called gym, you just played sports, and it was the best. And the funniest thing was I went to a Catholic K-8, and the guy who ran all the gym classes was great because he'd play speedball, or which is like dodgeball, or floor hockey. And at the end of basically each season, he would have a tournament, right? So at lunchtime, you'd go if you were in the playoffs. But the way he seeded it, like the eighth graders would play the first graders. It was like a one seed versus an eighth seed. And you're like firing floor hockey pucks at kids. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
You're basically Billy Madison.
Could never do that in 2019.
Yeah. I would love to see a video of Gracie with a wrench in her hand. If you can get this would be great. And just have her say, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. And just chuck a wrench at a kid.
She's packing heat.
Our great producer here in Winnipeg, Joe, left you a note.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Joey, did you finish your shit? Hey. Unbelievable. So I got a note on the board here. It says, Joey, did you finish your chick?
And I heard you're dropping that all over town now, Joe.
Dude, so yesterday I'm doing this thing for another radio station. I won't
yeah, rub
the
it
name
in
on this
yeah.
station. But again, we're talking about
so you say this thing. Are you talking an interview?
Interview,
okay,
yeah.
All right.
Over the phone for a radio station. And I said it again. And
now you're just trolling us.
No, there's gotta be some kind of Freudian thing gear going on. Like what's Do we need to put you on the couch and ask you some questions?
Maybe. I don't know what's wrong. Something's wrong with my mind right now. I got to get my mind right. But I did it again yesterday, and I had a good laugh.
Love's in the air.
Yeah, you're right.
Love's in the air for you. I know it. You're a romantic at heart, aren't you?
I am.
Hey, by the way, Chris Raby, I got to throw this out there. For anybody that's followed our 6:15 show, which has really nothing to do with sports, but it just allows us to sleep better at night, we know that Joe Vitale is not a do-it-yourselfer. Okay.
All right.
We can't even get enough peer pressure. His wife wants to purchase a table saw so she can do house repairs. He doesn't even want to get her a table saw, which is mind-boggling to me. Well, he shows up and he's got these blisters on his thumb. We're going, okay, well, how do you get blisters on your thumb if you're not a do-it-yourselfer? We're going to let imagination run on some of that. But he goes, he says, I was raking leaves, right? I go, you're raking leaves? Now he's telling everybody on the media crew, yeah, I'll come over. I'll do yard work for you. And I'm sitting here, I am calling springtime baloney on you and housework on this right now.
I love yard work in the spring. I love getting outside. Any excuse to get outside in the sun, I throw on the old headphones. My wife's like, you know, you can get a blower to blow all these leaves and you can be done in like a tenth of the time. But I said, no way.
Good workout.
It's therapeutic. My biceps are jacked right now. Yes, I got blisters on my thumbs for that reason and that reason only. But I'm feeling good.
I was ambidextrous.
I got some vitamin D in me, and I'm raking leaves, and I get every single leaf. I get that kid. They clean up the dog poop. I get them the gloves. They pick up all the dog poop in the yard. I'm raking leaves, and it's a great old time.
And then if your wife asks you to do anything inside, you can ask Gracie for her doctor's note so you can get out of it.
That's exactly right. But I stay away from housework. The one thing about housework that drives me absolutely mad is you never can just go to Home Depot or Lowe's once. Like, you think you got everything
you
need.
Oh, you're there like three times all day.
Bring it home, and then you realize, oh, I need that. And there's no fast trip to the hardware store. The parking lot is like a mile long.
So it's not the work that bothers you. It's the getting the supplies.
It's the supplies.
What's the deal with parking lot?
You go in one entrance. And then you get your thing, and then you got to go three blocks down to the exit because there's only one exit. And
so
then
I told you this story.
Well, hey, hang on. As enlightening as this is, I do have to take a break so we can start pregame. But, I mean, your ruggedness and your can-do attitude around the house is just bleeding through speakers everywhere around America right now. So hang on, regroup.
Yeah, you're an inspiration to every couch potato around the
go,
world.
Go find some Band-Aids, finish some chicks, and we'll chat with you guys in a few. Okay. Chris Kerber and Joey Vitale.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.